Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And, after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And, when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, and ran about the whole region, and began to bring the sick people on their beds, to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countrysides, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think of when you think of power, of strength? Do you think of the soldier, Do you think of the athlete? Maybe you think of the person who stands strong no matter what burden they're facing. All of those are examples of strength, and they're all good examples of strength. Today, though, we are going to be speaking of spiritual strength. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the unity that we have in Christ. Today, we will be talking about one of the benefits of that unity, one of the blessings that God gives us through the union of His Son and ourselves. The people who Paul is writing to here in Ephesians knew where he was. They knew that he was in prison and that he was suffering. Paul, of course, knows where he is as well. And he knows that the people were worrying about him. But of course, Paul isn't really all that concerned about himself. He's much more concerned about those who he is writing to. He's not concerned about his own strength and suffering because he trusts God to take care of him. Listen, therefore, and hear Paul as he says a prayer to the Father on behalf of the people who he's writing to. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." I'm going to pause here because that's the introduction to this prayer. And remember, the whole thing is a prayer, and so we're going to kind of break it down as a prayer. We're going to have the introduction, we're going to have the body, and we're going to have the conclusion. And so here, Paul starts off the prayer by saying, "For this reason." And what precisely is that reason? What reason did he just mention? Well, right before this, Paul is talking again about that unity. But he's also talking kind of specifically about the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. And if you remember from our last 2 weeks, that mystery is that now the Gentiles are part of the covenant. Now the Gentiles are saved as well. And to a great many Jews, that was very mysterious indeed. But it is the true mystery of the love of God, that He does truly want all to be saved. And so, for that reason, that the people might know that mystery, Paul bows his knees before the Father. Which Father specifically? He explains, "The one from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." This brings up an interesting side note, because I think that sometimes we have the impression that God took the name Father from us. That God didn't start calling himself the Father until there were other fathers in the world, and he said, "Oh, that's a good name. I'm going to take it and I'm going to use it." But that's not what happened. What happened is that God, when He was creating us, when He was making us to be His people, His image, He knew that we needed an actual physical image of Him. And so, He gave one of our roles His name. He gave the name of Father to us. Fathers who are supposed to show that mysterious love of God. But that is a little bit of a side note. And so listen closely as we continue. And we continue to talk about that spiritual strength that He wants His people to have. Our reading continues. That, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Here, we have what Paul actually wants to have happen. This is what Paul's petition is. And so, we're going to start off with, how does this happen? How does this come? And actually, we kind of start off with why. And so, why does this happen? Why is this even possible? According to the riches of his glory. According to the glory of God. I think this is something that we forget sometimes. That we, in fact, are part of the glory of God. Because God was able to reach down into this dark, sinful world and actually manage to save some of us. And that even in the midst, as we're still here, we believe in him. Because of what he's done for us. And then he talks about how that happens. How does that actually come to be here inside of us? And we shouldn't be surprised because we hear it all over the place. It comes to us through his Spirit in your inner being. It comes to us so that Christ may dwell in us through faith. The very faith that that Spirit gives us. This is how he has promised to be in our hearts. Through his Spirit, who comes through his word and his sacrament. So we have the why, we have the how, but what does Paul actually want to have happen? What's the end result? What's the goal? And the goal is that we are strengthened with power. But again, just what sort of power is this? What is this power that he wants? Is it the miraculous power to do the great deeds that Paul and Jesus were to do? Is it physical power? No. It is the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. All so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Because when Christ is dwelling in your heart, when God is living inside of you, you are going to be rooted and grounded in love. Nothing will be able to shake you from the love of Christ. Because that love is inside of you. Wherever you go, he's there, loving you continually, strengthening you. Strengthening you to comprehend the love of God. And if you want a real kind of brain teaser, is that what Paul is saying here is that we actually can comprehend the love of God. That it is possible for us to have the strength to know the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God, even though it surpasses all knowledge. We get to know something that surpasses all knowledge. And what is that thing that we know? It's the love of Christ, but specifically, what is it? And there's a very easy answer, because there is something that we can point to, and we can say, if you want to know how much God loves you, how much Christ loves you, there is something we can point to. Something that you can, in fact, measure the height and depth and length and breadth of. Something that you can know about. And that thing is the cross. If you want to know how much God loves you, if you want to know the full extent of the love of God and the love of Christ for you and those around you, you need only look at the cross. When you can keep your eyes on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, keep your eyes on the height and depth and breadth and length of all of that love, he will fill you with his fullness. Because that's what did it. That was the master stroke of God. It was where he won. It was where he showed his love for you. All of the love of Christ is bound up into that one moment. And once you get that, once you can comprehend that, everything else just falls into place. That's what Paul's looking for his people. That they can understand that it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. What matters is what Christ has done for you. That he has accomplished it for you. That's Paul's goal. That's what he wants to have happen. That's what he's praying to happen for the people that he's writing to. It's what all pastors pray happen to the people in their congregations. This is what we want. That you know the love of Christ when he died for you. Paul then moves on for his conclusion. And he kind of wraps things up, but he wraps things up in a very interesting way. Our reading continues. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Which is to say that no matter if we asked the wildest thing in the world, that God is able to do far more than that. And here's the really interesting thing about this. How is he able to do that? He's able to do it according to the work, or according to the power at work within us. Which is to say, he's able to do all of those things according to the love of Christ that is in you. It is to him, to God, that the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus will be. I think this is another thing that we forget sometimes, that there is glory here in this place. But of course, it isn't our glory. It's not what we're doing, right? It is the glory of the fact that just a couple of minutes ago, Christ came to you in his word. That in just a few more minutes, Christ is going to come to you again in his sacrament. This is the glory of the church. It is where Christ comes to us. And this is not just going to happen here and now. It didn't happen just in the past. This is going to happen throughout all generations, forever and ever. That, of course, means for all generations here on earth, the church will always be here. It may not necessarily be in this particular location, but the church will always be present on the earth. It will never be wiped out. But recognize that this also means forever and ever, all the way into eternity. What we're doing right now, listening to the word, thinking about it, talking about it, where Christ is coming to you, that will continue forever into eternity. He's always going to be coming to you, even after Judgment Day. He's always going to be strengthening you, even after Judgment Day. What we're doing now isn't the beginning by any stretch of the imagination, and it most certainly is not the end. It's going to be happening forever. And so I ask you then, are you strong enough? Strong enough to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ? The love that surpasses all knowledge. Are you that strong? If the answer is yes, excellent. Live that love. Share that love. And most assuredly, continue to pray for an increasing comprehension of that love. If the answer is no, excellent. Pray for an increasing comprehension of that love. Share that love. Live that love. Even if you don't understand. God's love is such that you need not ever worry about anything. The true breadth, length, height, depth, and knowing of the love of God really comes down to that one fact. That one event that changed everything. That made it so that we are his children, his church, so that we are united with him. The ultimate fullness of the love of God comes down to this. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for you. He died by taking on himself the punishment that you deserved for your sins. He died to earn your forgiveness of sins and to give you your place in the family of God. And he didn't do that just for you. He did that for everyone. This is the fullness of God's love for us. That his Son died for the world. Not just for the Jew. Not just for the Gentile. Not just for the American, not just for the people in the Old Testament, not just for the people in the New Testament, not just for the people who look and act like us, not just for the people who are different than us, not just for the good guys, not just for the bad guys. Jesus died for all. This is why we can join with Paul in his conclusion to this prayer. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God successfully came up with a way that all people could be saved. That is the God we worship and adore. The God who died for us. May he continue to strengthen our comprehension of his love. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.